for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast with over 50 years of playing PlayStation, like 15 years in that games media combined. I'd thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. Both links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. And if you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us, the show financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. Now, Max, before we started recording today, we're sitting here on the Twitch, and suddenly I hear this baby crying. And I'm thinking, that's a bit insane. There was genuine concern from yourself that my house may be haunted. Because you have house of baby, and there was no crying from your end.
The beach is calling.
The beach is calling. The Death Stranding is upon us.
Well, as soon as you left, I'm like, I bet Phoebe's upstairs watching fucking crying baby videos.
That was the first thing I considered. I was like, okay, if I went upstairs to see whether I could look across the courtyard.
Funniest home videos.
And see like Phoebe watching something, but the curtains were down. I was like, So I opened the front door like a weirdo just to hear this like meh from like down the street. I'm like, cool, my street's haunted. Or maybe by me opening the door, I allowed the baby spirit to come inside. And now there's a baby spirit in here. It's going to be crying up a fucking storm. Trying to do things, baby noises.
Only time will tell.
And we'll wait and see. Max, have you ever lived in a haunted house?
No.
Have you ever had a ghostly experience? Like nothing, never.
No, not at all.
Do you know anyone?
I know people who have. But
what's it? Share a paranormal experience.
I personally think that were a little bit, you know. Their stories are quite far fetched to begin with.
All right, lay it down. Give me one of them.
Oh man, I don't remember.
Oh, come on. You can't set me up with a good ghost story and then not.
I didn't set you up with anything.
Well, I was pushing for one because I was like,
Have you experienced the paranormal?
Once or twice. But even then, like, they're just things. Just things. It's like one of those, I'm not like, oh, that was a ghost story. I was like, oh, that was a weird experience. What are the key ones? I remember from many, many years ago, it was when my son was super little. This was when we were living in my old place. I remember sitting in the lounge room with my ex-wife and holding James as a baby. And then, you know, the mobile above his bed just starts going off in the other room. That was up there as one of the most harrowing things I've experienced. That was
I've had random toys just go off, but I mean, I've lived.
I can rationalize a random toy going off.
I've lived in creepy houses before. Like they were, right before my parents moved to Queensland, we were living in Hyten, and like, mum always felt like there was something off about the house, and it turns out the owner of the house, their father's ashes were under the house, like just sitting under the house in an urn.
Yeah, that would give off some creepy energies, I suppose.
But yeah, other than that, there's been
it's interesting. Like ghosts are pretty much they're within that part of logically they make no sense. Therefore, I don't believe it to be real. But I do enjoy the
waking
feeling.
Up covered in ectoplasm.
Yeah, that part's pretty sick. You know, like that's a big win. And Phoebe's like, oh, there's been a ghost. And I'm like, oh, that sucks. No, but like playing like something like Phasmophobia is really fun. because I just the idea of it all and just feels creepy and uncomfortable. And obviously, I like
ghost stories
with my son.
What are those fucking ghost hunters from Supernatural? One of the mind freaks or whatever.
Yeah, mind freakers or something. Yeah, yeah. I love those videos. They're fucking. They're the best. They're fantastic. Well, outside of very extra supernatural events.
Fucking ghost faces.
Ghost faces, that's right. Ghost faces. Fuck.
Ghost faces.
What about non-ghostly week have you had? How's it been?
Yeah, I voted this week. Good old Australian election.
Oh, yeah.
I was denied my democracy sausage due to a lack of, you know, no gluten-free bread being available.
That is true. Things like a good sausage sizzle are no longer on your list of things you can do.
So I had to go home and have my own democracy sausage with bacon and eggs instead.
That's a pretty good win, though. Democracy breakfast does sound a bit nicer.
And then obviously we got the good news later that evening.
Oh, yeah.
Of the absolute fucking landslide.
Yeah, just get straight smooshed. What an outcome. Yeah. I love it how, like, I think counting started at 6, but numbers really didn't come until, like, 8. And then by 8:30, they're like, yeah, we know who's going to win.
We've called the election.
Yeah. none of this, like, taking weeks or days or waiting for states to verify shit. It's just like, yeah, no, they got it. Yeah.
other than that, not much has been really going on, I don't think.
Yeah?
Just, you know, just cruising.
Nice.
Look, I'm Ollie had a gnarly fall yesterday.
Is he all right?
Yeah, he's fine. So the kids were playing up on the trampoline, and the rule is if they're on the trampoline, the fucking zip is supposed to be done up on the. And yeah, he like tripped and reached out to hold himself up on the thing, and he just fell straight through the fucking gap. And just like he did a leap of faith, Assassin's Creed style, but there was no haystack underneath
him.
There
was no tuck. It was just face. Like, no tuck back. To land on your back. It was just
spread eagle on his back. He just fell. I'm just like,
oh, did it wind him?
No, I ran out there and picked you up. He cried.
Because like
a bit,
trying to like, you know, being winded sucks. And then imagine being like a toddler and then getting winded. Ooh.
Mm. But no, he was alright. And yeah, all had our flu shots tonight.
So at any point you'd be like, "Boo."
And Hadley's been psyching herself up for it all. She's like, "Oh, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna sit by myself." And she got jabbed, and halfway through, she fucking moved her arm, pulled away from the needle, so she only got half the injection. She had to get jabbed again.
She's gonna be super immune to the flu this year.
So she got two half doses.
Very good, very good. Like for myself though, not much. Busy weeks at work for the next 3 weeks. 5 days, pretty much every day I'm in school, like 13 out of the next 15 days, I'm in schools, which has been, it's been fun, like really just going, just throwing myself into it. I did have a fun moment the other day, though. We were doing this session, and the idea, it's the pardon me, for those that don't know, my day job is I work for a company called the Life Changer Foundation, and we do in-school preventative mental health supports and programs and facilitation. So we're doing a session about health, so about physical health, mental health, etc. And part of the thing, one of the things, sorry, it's clear in my throat, was about like movement. So there's this thing called Movement Mountain. So it starts off with like standard stretching, and then it moves into like some standard movements, and then it goes into Just Dance. So here I am making like just being me, really super out there energy dude. And I'm just building and building and building this energy. And the way my colleague explained it to me, it was like I was building this tornado of chaos. And here I am dancing around the outside, just like being like a shaman, just pulling this energy into this big, huge Just Dance session. It was awesome. I had so much fun. It was an absolute blast. But it does, because I just got to get to puppet the room around and move all the energies about and have a bit of fun. And hopefully people learn some stuff. Whether they do or not, I don't know. But I give them the option too, I suppose. Outside of that, not really a whole lot during the week. It's been pretty knackered. Still behind on The Last of Us.
Yeah, I still haven't finished episode one.
Yeah, we finished episode one. We haven't done two or three yet. I think four may have come out today.
I've watched four fucking seasons of Rick and Morty, but I've watched one episode.
Oh, we've now hit the last season of 30 Rock. And yeah. A personal goal of mine for many, many years has been to finish 30 Rock. So, because I love that show, but normally I get distracted and sort of wander off. But having Phoebe be a fan of it has been really, really like advantageous for me. Mostly because I get to live my goal of watching it. I get to enjoy it with her. And then hopefully she, you know, is pretty keen to have seen it through. Like we did what Community together, and that was a stack of fun. But that's watching TV, Max. This isn't for the people that watch TV, the PlayStation, the Popsy TV podcast. We had one. It was called Popcorn. We haven't done it in years. Max, what have you been playing?
I'm still chugging through Clair Obscur. I have started my new game plus playthrough now. Mm. So, working on that second ending. I'm at the end game again already.
Well, so after our chat last week, you did your review. You waxed lyrical. However, you were like, "Oh man, I think I've missed some stuff though."
Yeah. So one thing that I left out, which is huge, the soundtrack is fucking incredible for this game. I have a feeling that my Spotify Wrapped at the end of the year is just going to be this game's OST.
Oh shit! Really? Okay.
Oh yeah, it is.
It's like
so
when
good.
Astrobot cut through mine last year.
Yeah, but it's like this French operatic power music. It's just so good, and it's banger all through the game. But the one thing that I wanted to touch on was some of the side quest mini games.
Okay.
So there are these little dudes. I'm just going to make sure I get the terms for them correct. I think they're called Gestrals, and essentially they play the role of the merchants.
I listened to a couple of reviews, and Gestrals, I think, is correct.
So they essentially play the role of the merchants. They're everywhere. And there are locations on the world map known as Gestral Beaches. And each Gestral Beach contains a little mini game for you to play to unlock a new outfit for a character. These range from simple games of badminton, where you pick one of your heroes to stand on a boat. They have a Gestral on another boat, and you just fucking parry shit at them as they throw it back. And whoever survives the longest wins. They have, because the game has a free movement with jump, they have a fucking parkour course.
Okay.
There is one that is basically the game always up, where you have to fucking climb all the way to the top. And if you fall, you have to start all over again, unless you manage to fall back onto the thing. It's so good. It's brilliant. One of them that I thought was going to take me a lot longer than it was essentially just a climbing wall, and they dropped random water bubbles down the wall, and you just had to fucking climb to the top and dodge it. So you're just working your way up the maze, and the game's brilliant. It's so much fun. It's got all these little tidbits, like all these little hidden, squirreled away little side quest mini games to unlock, just cosmetic stuff. Doesn't really play into the story as like the grander story as a whole. It's just there to kind of give you a little bit of relief from the very dark, serious, and somber story that it's telling. And it's nice to just go have fun and be like, I'm just going to fucking run up this hill for a while and I'm going to get some shit out of it.
Nice.
It's brilliant. But the game that I've mainly been playing this week, and this is thank you to PlayStation Australia, I have been playing the Days Gone Remaster. I did not play this game originally when it came out back in 2018? 2019?
No.
It was before I started here with you. So it was a whole minute ago.
Give me 2019.
So
yeah, 26th of April 2019. So pretty much 6 years ago. Holy shit, 6 years ago.
I have been playing that. I'm not very far in. I think I've put about 5 or 6 hours in. I'm very early in still. It looks good. It looks better than I remember it looking, which is which is great.
The remaster, yes, absolutely.
But I am, you know, it's that post-apocalyptic game. I'm playing as Deacon St. John. I'm hanging out with my best mate Boozer. We're killing shit. We're hunting down bounties to make some coin, to buy some shit, to hunt more bounties. It's fine. At the moment, nothing's really super compelling. Mm. The Freakers at the moment are just like, whatever. I kind of just run away from them. There is no incentive to kill them at all unless it specifies you have to go kill these nests to progress the story. And it's like, okay. The UI for the story progression is confusing the shit out of me because I have no idea what the fuck's going on. Because I've got like 7 story missions all running concurrently for some reason. It's like, you've done 13% of this one, but you've only done 27% of this one. But we're only showing you one waymark of where to go, and you're just going to progress this over here for a little bit, and then you're going to go back down here and do this for a little bit.
Well, yeah, the idea is that, like,
it was, until I worked that out, it was super weird and confusing. I'm like, what the fuck? I was trying to work out what I was, I'm like, have I been missing stuff? Like, what am I supposed to be doing here? I randomly just rode my bike for, like, 4Ks in game. It took me fucking ages to get out to stop like 4 times to refuel. And then it's like, did I even want to be here? I spoke to some old lady. She's like, fuck off. I'm like, okay, I'm so glad you made me come out here for no reason. That was fun. And I said to you last night that, I think it was last night, that Boozer is basically Roman from GTA 4. He's just like, hey cousin, you want to come bowling? Hey cousin, I'm almost done. I'm like on my deathbed, but I'm just gonna go fuck up some freaking ass. I'm like, why? Just fucking leave me alone. Just rest, and then we're gonna ride north.
Your arm's really fucked up, Boozer. Just stay asleep. Just chill out. Like, you're lucky we took you to the place that could look after you. Sleep.
Sorry. He's getting annoying. Hopefully he becomes endearing later.
He does.
But at the moment, he's just a pain in the ass. He's like, don't leave me without my shotgun. Clearly should have left him without the shotgun, so he had no incentive to fucking leave the safe house. But, you know, whatever. That's neither here nor there. But, you know, the moment-to-moment travel is fine. I'm sick of getting randomly shot off my bike by some prick in a fucking tree or some freaker who thinks he's close enough to just fucking launch across and just spear tackle me off my motorbike. It's fine. At the moment, I'll keep playing it because I'm interested to see where it goes, but at the moment, nothing's really pulling me forward. The story's at the moment really bland. Deacon St. John's just a whiny bitch at the moment. He's like, I think my girlfriend might be alive, but I'm pretty sure she's dead. But the guy that I sent her with is now alive, which I thought was dead, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't think you even care, my guy.
Yeah, well, like, we had a bit of a conversation yesterday about it, and like, no spoilers for you or anyone at home. You're asking questions like, you know, why is Deacon St. John so goddamn gloomy all the time? I'm like, well, because he has a shitty porn star of a name, for one. But no, it's absolutely true. Like, he is completely broken by the world around him and the situation where Sarah, his partner, is no longer around for him. You mean, like, as far as he knows, she got in a helicopter and fucked off somewhere?
Because, like, he can clearly say that he's given up because he refuses to join any encampments. Like, he refuses to be around people. Like, he's it's like, dude, what are you doing?
But for you, we were discussing in another chat with a friend of ours, Paul from Player 2 and Joel from Anagame. We all come to the consensus because you're a gameplay guy. So for you, I think the late game is where you're going to have the most fun.
I mean, yes and no. Like, I enjoy a compelling story.
Well, absolutely, but gameplay is what brings you in more than anything.
It's, well, in the sense that, like, from what I've been told, it's like, this TV show doesn't get good until season 2. Then the gameplay needs to be good in season 1 to keep me wanting to get to season 2 to experience the story.
Yeah, so, like, it's funny how... Like,
it's why I can handle playing Persona games for 20 hours before the game even starts, because the moment-to-moment gameplay of a Persona game I find fun and interesting. Whereas so far, this isn't quite there yet.
Mm.
Like, I can see where it wants to go, and I can see that I will have fun with it when it gets there, but it's taking just a little bit too long to ramp itself up. It's got like this slow build, but it's too slow of a build. It's not. It's trying to keep me on my toes, but it's not doing enough to threaten the falling off the edge, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do actually, and I'm very aware of the irony of the amount of times that I've been like, it takes this long to get good, fuck this. And then now here I am going, dude, no, please sit with Days Gone. Like, give it a little bit. Because I've talked about this before. I've said this to you multiple times. I'm sure I've said this on the show multiple times as well. The beauty of Days Gone is as you play it, it's almost like you can feel the studio and the team, development team, getting better as they go. Like, the game almost looks better sometimes. It plays better. All those little kinks that you've mentioned do get nicely reconciled as you sort of go further along. Oh, I'm like glad I have a mute button that sadly you can't use, Max, because you just get coughs right in your ear hole. So I was dying this evening, allegedly. yeah, so like that's the things that I love, and as you start building up your arsenal and your skill set, that's when you really start tackling the larger stuff. And as your bike gets upgraded, things like being shot off it don't happen as frequently because you're skimming too fast. And you can see people at a distance better. Like, there's a bunch of things you can do to really improve that experience. And the slow burn does pay off, or at least I felt my time with Days Gone really allowed me to experience the nuances of the characters and of the world and where they all sit and how they all connect to one another. So for myself... So for me, that's what I was looking for. Like, as I'm becoming more connected with the world, so then when things happen, I was immediately invested. Like, right now, you said you can't fucking stand Boozer. I would like to hope by the end, because there are moments throughout the story where, like, I was emotionally, like, impacted.
Like I said before, you can see that Deacon Joss, or Deke, as he's... you know, lovingly referred to. He just wants to be left alone, and every fucking prick is constantly, "Hey man, I got something for you. Hey man, someone's knocked my phone out. Can you fix it? Hey man, I need some drugs. Hey man, have you done this yet?" And it's like, why do you have a phone if you don't want to talk to people? Like, I get that you have to do these
Who's
things
paying
too.
These bills, by the way, but also then, like, no one would turn them off on stream if everyone's fucking dead.
Well, that's the thing. I'm like, I get that you need to do these things to earn your fucking cents to buy your food or whatever. Like, I get that there is a barter system in a post-apocalyptic setting, and you kind of need to play ball, otherwise you're fucked. Like, I get it. But at the same time, Deke seems like the person who's just so, like, non-committal at this point in time.
He's just absolutely demolished by life.
Yeah, it's like, dude, why are you putting yourself through this? Like, it seems like he just wants to give up, and I hope that changes, but for now, he's just, for now, it's just like, you know, because I just did this section fairly early on where, what is it, Nero seems to be like the government agency. I overheard that conversation of like, hey, blah, 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 and now I've got this faint glint of hope that maybe it gets better, and then I'm like, but... Like, dude, make up your mind. Either hope and dream, or just be a gloomy bitch and deal with it.
Well, look, I appreciate you still wanting to give it a burl, right? And still, tackle it.
I mean, it's hard not to when all the people who, like yourself, Joel and Paul, all saying, you know, it does get better and Joel and Paul, I must admit, play games very similar to the things that I like. So for them to say, hey, you should probably stick with it is...
Yeah, but recommendations from me normally aren't all the best. Cause like, but that's what makes this show great, is that we have very different tastes.
I'm, you know, there must be something there. Although at the same time, I can also imagine that Joel and Paige are just taking the piss and they're like, just, you know, stick it through, man. You'll be fine. It gets better. And then I'll be like, I fucking hate it all the way through.
I think,
I don't think that'll happen. Like, no. I can see where it wants to go. Like, it does seem like a very tropey story that they're gonna that it's gonna tell. It so is. I can kind of see where it's gonna go, and like, I'll enjoy that. It's just taking just a smidge too long.
Well, because you're completely speculative, right? And like, and I'll neither confirm nor deny whatever you say. Where do you think it's going currently?
Well, a part of me wants to believe that I'm now going to chase this guy down who survived the attack at the camp that I sent Michelle to, or whatever her fucking name was. I've already forgotten.
I want to say Claire.
Maybe. But Deke's partner. And I'm going to... Booze's arm's going to miraculously heal with the sanitized bandages that I keep finding in the Nero crack houses. And we're going to ride north together into the sunset, and we're all going to have...
Sarah.
And we're all going to live a fucking hot three-way happy life by the end of it. Or Booze is going to sacrifice himself to save her. One of those two things that is happening. He's going to lose one person that's important to him.
Shit.
It'll either be Boozer or the Sarah will... He'll learn that Sarah's alive and one of them will die.
Or the fun part is, like, they're all dead. They've been dead this entire time. It's the
it's just a dream.
Yeah,
it's Sixth Sense. It's... Deke's the only one alive in this world. He's all alone.
Oh, what was that movie? St. Elmo's Fire? Where, like, it's just all a dream, and the hospital that the show was based on just lives in a fucking snow globe.
It's the
true. The whole game. There it is. Holy fuck. Literally in the chat. The whole game takes place in a snow globe. Puck, you and I. Brains. Fuck yes.
Yeah.
Say that elsewhere.
Either that or Dick's Truman. It's just the Truman show.
Yeah, it's possible. But yeah, look, I Days Gone sits within the realm of, like, there are key games that you need to play as part of the first party studios. Like, like, I wouldn't ask you to go play all of the Siphon Filters again from Bend.
Mm.
Saying that though, I would argue that, like, you know, Days Gone is like a modern must play, like, not a must play, but a modern thing you should experience as to get a more holistic picture of the first party studios.
Mm.
Like, even though I'm very aware that you may not love it the same way that we all do, but
who knows? That's fine. Not everything has to be for everyone.
That's exactly true. It's where even, like, I knew Returnal would shit me at some point, and I played it until it shit me. And I get it, and I understand it.
Such a banger, though.
Yeah. But yeah, look, you mentioned it earlier, and it does make me laugh, because that is true. We normally do have unmatching tastes in genres. But the one thing you did recommend me, Max, and it was absolutely correct, and even a week later, it's still... it's Blueprints.
I've unlocked the outdoor...
hey! Did it ages ago. Love it.
I've got so much gold coming out of my crypt, it's not funny.
Yeah.
This is good.
So good. Game's great. As the Malt Show, as Craig in the chat says, how fucking good is Blueprints? It's fucking good. As the name of last week's episode, how fucking brilliant, you know, Claire Obscura and Blueprints. I have put, like, over 20 something hours into Blueprints at this point. I'm a day 38, 39, I think. I have done so much. I've sussed out why the rooms have chess pieces. I've got the outer room. I have 3 of the 4 permanent upgrades. I have a bunch of new items I know what to do with. Solved many mysteries around the manor. Some very exclusive rooms. Yeah. But the beauty of it is there's always more. And that's what's, like, I'm really baffled by. Is I feel like there was a while there where I felt that I was not progressing. I would make a couple steps, and then for a couple of days it would hang. And yeah. I'm not progressing. I feel like I'm not doing anything. I'm either having shitty RNG, whichever. And then boom, something happens. Something clicks. I suss a puzzle. Pardon me, or I unlock it. I work out the code for a safe. and then boom, and then that starts a new a new trail of possibility. Like, I found a boiler room, which allows me to like funnel water, and then I've got all these rooms I can funnel water out of. I'm like, okay. So then suddenly, completely blows open that part and that idea. That I really enjoyed The Witness when it was like 2019 for what it did, and the way it tells a very similar story to in its delivery method through like gameplay through the world as Blueprints. But I think Blueprints is a much better game. I think it's a lot more accessible because you're not having to learn this entire language that was The Witness system. Where here, there are a bunch of smaller puzzles, and it's a variety of puzzles. There's logic puzzles. There's, math puzzles. There's abstract puzzles. There's a little bit of everything. So as you mentioned, Max, a number of weeks ago, this is a game best played with people, and that's exactly how I've been playing it. I've been playing it with Craig and Phoebe, and we're able to like take advantage of each of our little skill sets, where Craig's really good at logic puzzles, so we use him for the gem boxes. Where like Phoebe has a different skill set, I have a different skill set, but it all comes together and we were able to sort of crack it. There was a nice word puzzle one that that Phoebe excelled in. As of right now, I am closer to this 46th room as I think I could ever be. And I do think I am really close. Like, really close. Knowing a couple of things that I've experienced from the dude, that you know, the coin and the machine and the magic man tells you things.
The fortune teller?
That's the one. I couldn't think of that word for the life of me. Thank you, Max. the fortune teller. With some of the imagery, I'm like, okay, I'm getting there. And at this moment, there are two things I need to do, and I think that will get me to that next bit that I need to know. I need to power the laboratory, and I need to power the boiler, the pump room, not the boiler room, the pump room. Using the boiler room, the pump room is one that does all the pipes for the water. Because I have a feeling. What I need the pump room for is the answer. But then allegedly, even once I find this 46th room, it just keeps going. Like the fact that you can finish the game and not get a single trophy is astounding to me. I have a couple, which is nice. But you could, and the fact that there's a trophy for finishing the game in one day. One game day.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
You'd have to get the perfect RNG.
Yeah, like clear save, go again, clear save, go again, clear save, go again. But it is one of those things that you can certainly learn how to gimmick the system.
Mm.
Like once you click it, you're like, oh, I need to go here to do this, then that will let me do this, and then I can do that. Like,
well, I was on a fucking banger run. I got the conference room.
Oh, which
allows me to move all items in the fucking mansion to that room.
Big fan.
And then I accidentally fucking I walked the wrong way through an area, and it took away my ability to see which room I was building. And I built
the grand dark room.
And I built the grand fucking hall, which is a hallway with 8 fucking doors, and I didn't have enough keys to get through where I needed to get through, and it just fucked me. It ruined the whole run. I was like, oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
There was nothing I could do about it. I'm just like, oh, well, this is just over now.
Yeah.
I think I'm on day like 18 or 19.
Yeah. I do enjoy that feeling of going, you know, when you get moving, but that crushing feeling when you're like, oh, wait, I've done. Day's done.
I also get really shitty when I run into electronic doors and I've already gone to the security room and set their like default system to unlocked if there's no power to them, and they're just like, nah, we're still locked.
Yeah, you need to get a breaker box.
yeah, I had the breaker box and I had it turned off. And it's like, no, we're just not going to work for you. I'm like, okay.
Well, there's a little trick for that too. So efficient. what you do is if you find the breaker box, you switch it off, burnt. Then go to the security room, unlock all the doors, like through the power, and then crank it to high. So then the frequency increases. So then you no longer need keys because you can just open the doors. It's a little thing that I went, oh, hang on. Game changer.
Well, at the moment, the thing that's sitting in my coat check is I've got the lockpick.
Oh, dude!
So I pick the lock pick up on all my runs at the moment because it's just like your door's locked. It's like a 50-50 chance it'll just unlock for you.
So like what the code check for me at the moment is there was a particular special key, the room 8 key, which I assume you haven't seen yet.
No.
So that was in there, but now I've just worked out how to use that. That was awesome. I keep my merged workshopped tools. There's one, nice. There is the broken lever plus the shovel and the battery pack, and it becomes this jackhammer. So, like, anytime you find the dirt piles, you get, like, keys and gems rather than just crap.
Yeah.
Big help. Oh, and the rethrow dice, which allows you to redraw rooms.
I think the craziest room I've seen so far is the mirror room.
Yeah, so the mirror room you need to be able to get to from all directions. And that's the only catch of that one. But no, I spent way too much time.
Yeah, it's good fun though.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's an amazing game. And I've spent a lot of thought on it. And I'm really, really, really enjoying it. To the surprise of absolutely no one. In that same breath though, the other game that I spent a big hunk of time with this weekend was The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion Remastered. This one does come thank you to the team over at Bethesda Australia and the team of at Power Up PR. So we got this code day of the Shadow Drop, which was last week, I believe. Was it last week? Yeah, it was last week.
Yeah.
So due to other commitments over the weekend, I had my kid, you know, in life. I wasn't able to really dive into it as much as I originally wanted to. Busy week, went up to. Yesterday and the day before, I went, cool, aside from going to vote, this weekend is free. This weekend is Oblivion weekend. And in the space of like a day and a little, like over 2 days, but mostly in one day, I think it ranked up like 10-12 hours. This game is weirdly exactly how I remember it. And understand it's a remaster. That's what it is by design. It's a beautiful reskin of a game that we all know and love. And as I go throughout it, as I enter all the little caves and little mines, I'm clearing them out and just the imagery. And then I go through my first Oblivion Gate, and I'm in the tower, and the tower design, like everything's red and pointy, and it hits this back part of my brain, which I kind of forgot about. Now, I played this game quite a lot, as I mentioned last week, in my first and second year of uni. So for me, that's what, 2008, 2009. Like, since then, I barely messed with it, because Skyrim came out a couple of years later, so if I was to play an Elder Scrolls game, I put that time into Skyrim. And knowing that it kind of ran like crap on PS3, because many third-party games did at the time, and it looked quite old, that bloom effect, all the just bright-ass colors hadn't aged all that well. So, yeah, falling back into Oblivion now, like, I wouldn't say this is exactly how I remember it looking, because it's not. It's way better than I remember it looking. But, like, the feel of the world still comes through.
Yeah.
The characters that you see and experience, they don't look like... They look better than how I remember, but they look great. There are moments, though, clearly they're using some sort of AI to replicate mouth movement to match the dialogue. because the lip sync can be pretty rough sometimes. And any main character, they look fantastic. Any side characters, clearly just generated at random, look like poo. Like a couple of shopkeepers you chat to, their face, like pattern, like their facial structure is all super weird, and like it doesn't, it hits that uncanny valley space, because like everything's very visually pretty, but some things just look a little off.
Maybe they just use their own character creator to make these models, because you can make some pretty...
I assure you they are. And because there's some of them have this weird sheen, look like they've just been smeared with Vaseline. Like, yeah, it's... Like, I'm willing to forgive those things, because they're that's how I remember the game. Yeah, and like, and if I see someone that looks weird, I just go, yeah, you look weird. Couple things I just forgot about, level scaling. You know, as you play throughout, every, you know, as I, like, I just go and have a sleep, bump up a level, brilliant. And then I remember that everything around me gets stronger, the equivalent to me. Because even this little scamp that I could get like 3 hits on, suddenly it takes 5 hits. I'm like, but hang on, I've got a better sword now. Why is this doing? So I forgot all about that. That was fun. There are some minor frustrations that I'm having with the game. Particularly, there's no direct button to take you to the, like, the map. Like, you can hold the directional buttons and they'll take you to something, but what I want in the map is I want, when I click the map button, I don't want the world map because I'm clearly in a fucking cave. I want it to zoom in and give me the cave. But for whatever reason, I have to zoom in every time. Just so I can see what path I'm taking in this cave that I am in. Minor hiccup, very frustrating when you play for like a long window of time, especially in one day. And I check, and I'll be checking that map often because sometimes I do find myself getting lost in the caves. But not in a that itself isn't a critique of the game, where Skyrim's caves felt very predictable. You kind of knew where they were going. Where here, I do feel these are maybe a bit more purposefully designed. I don't know whether they're procedurally generated or anything, because I think they're all clearly unique caves and mines. But as in, you know what I mean? As in, they're all built randomly, but they are all unique, if that makes sense. It's not quite like Persona, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, there is no hotkey button to instantly go to the local map. You've got to open the world map and hit the zoom button. Yep.
And like back in the day, I assume that was pretty standard. As of right now, though... Fucking annoying.
No, back in the day, it opened in the local map,
and that's annoying. That's very, very annoying. Because I would remember. It's one of those things where I remember it being a thing, but I couldn't recall whether it was my memory of Oblivion or my memory of Skyrim. So it's a bit frustrating that is still something that's out there. But yeah, where I'm at, I said like 12 hours in, no more than that, now probably like 15 hours in, with the additional time I got over the weekend. I've taken out my first Oblivion Gate. I'm stopping at almost every little cave and doohickey that I can, because that's how I play Elder Scrolls titles. Very aware the level scaling is going to be a problem, but I'm doing it anyway. It is doing exactly how I used to play. It's giving me exactly how I used to play it. I'd put my headphones on, I'd listen to my iPod, and I'd listen to music, and I'd just play the game. Except now, in 2025, it's me listening to podcasts on my phone while playing Oblivion. And I've loved it. I've utterly adored it. Would I recommend this game to someone that's never played an Elder Scrolls title before? No. I'd probably recommend Skyrim. I think Skyrim's a lot more approachable in many ways. Even something as simple as weapon repair, which I do hate. And I do hate it in this game as well. But it because the item is still usable, even when it's broken, I have less frustrations at it compared to Zelda. But if you had grown up on this before, if you played it back in the day, I would consider this a must. Because if you've loved it, you got to jump in. You got to give it a bell. You just have.
Well, see, I'm having the problem of, despite the fact that there was like a 20-year gap, I'm like, I remember all this, and I'm not. And as pretty as it looks now, I'm not compelled to, like, replay the entire game. I've dabbled for a bit. I think I'm sitting at like 8 to 10 hours of playtime. I've done a few Oblivion Gates. I've done a few of the side quests. I've got myself a house. I've done some of the magic fusion and creating my own spells. And
man, you've had a lot more. You've had a much more productive 10 hours than I did. Mine was just fuck assing around.
Currently, what's annoying me is the bug for stealth. I'm playing primarily as a stealth archer, and I keep crit hitting for 1x damage because the hit rego is fucking whack for some reason. It's like, oh, you're in stealth. No one can see you. Oh, you hit a headshot. 1x damage. It's like, no, dude, it should be 3. Why are you doing 1x damage?
That is weird.
Where's my bonus damage? Apparently, it's a known bug at the moment.
Is it a bug from previous, or is it a new one?
It seems to be less egregious depending on what your stealth level is, but there seems to be like a if you don't directly get that clean headshot, it'll be like, ah, yeah, I'm pretty sure you hit a random piece of the body hitbox as opposed to the head hitbox.
Okay.
Sorry, unlucky.
That is weird.
Because there'll be times where I'll hit headshot after headshot. It'll be 3 times, 3 times, 3 times, and then I'll randomly get like 1x. I'm just like, hey, you should have died. That's not fair.
Very weird. But look, I'll no doubt spend some time with it because it's a great game for me to just sit in and enjoy and just go. And I'm like, oh, exciting. Excellent. But before we jump into that, no, I won't do that just in case. Keep an eye on our social media. Something's happening. Something cool's coming. Speaking of Bethesda. But anyways, let's get into the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation.
I'm going to do two. One I haven't actually put in the news because I completely forgot about it. So I'm going to read off this week the essential titles that are launching today at time of release. We are getting Balatro, another banger of a game, Ark Survival Ascended, and Warhammer 40k Bolt Gun. But the story that I want to talk about that I forgot to put in the news.
Before we jump into that, though, what a really good month, actually. Balatro, exceptional. 40k Bolt Gun, I have heard nothing but good things, and it's a game that I've been wanting to pick up for a while, so I am glad that I can get it through PS Plus. Brent, wasn't it Ark Survival Evolved?
Yeah, this is the expansion.
So this is not Ark 2. The base game was given. The base game was free ages ago, wasn't it?
This is not Ark 2 with Vinny D.
Oh yeah, that's still coming. Well, there you go. So if you had got Ark previously for free, you now get the update also for free, quote unquote, but not free because it's not free.
Sorry, this is not an expansion. This is the remastered version of Ark.
Yeah.
Ark Survival Ascended is the remaster of the 2015 game Ark Survival Evolved.
Okay.
So it's less jank, a little bit prettier.
Well, it was pretty jank back in the day.
Most games of that genre are.
So what's your other story?
Yeah, Reverend Park just put it in the chat. It's like Ark 1.5.
Okay.
So Bungie are currently being sued for copyright content.
All right.
So this is coming from VGC. So the headline is Bungie has failed to provide evidence for Destiny 2 copyright lawsuit because the content is vaulted. A judge has denied Bungie's motion to dismiss the case because it can't present archived content. It is incapable of presenting the game content being challenged because it has been vaulted. So Bungie filed a motion to have... Sorry. Writer Matthew Kelsey, Martin New, sued Bungie last year for copyright infringement, alleging that Destiny 2's Red Legion was taken directly from his writings on WordPress 4 years prior to the game being released. Bungie filed a motion to have the case dismissed, stating that the examples cited in Martin New's suit are demonstrably different in Destiny 2 than in his work, but the demonstrably part has become an issue for the studio. Much of the content being cited comes from Destiny 2's Red War campaign and DLC like Curse of Osiris. However, because Destiny 2 is a live service with an evolving storyline, this content has now been placed in the Destiny content vault, where it can no longer be accessed by players or even by Bungie itself, apparently. Bungie sent to the court an affidavit by Destiny 2 game director Tyson Green, in which he explained why the studio was unable to provide the Red War and Curse of Osiris content to the court in its original form. Quote, "The Red War and Curse of Osiris legacy builds can no longer run because their outdated code is incompatible with Destiny 2's underlying operational framework, which has evolved considerably since the Red War and Curse of Osiris campaigns were retired," said Green. "As a result, Bungie cannot feasibly provide the court with the original Destiny 2 game as it existed in 2017, including the accused Red War and Curse of Osiris campaigns, in any operable or reviewable form, nor will Bungie be able to produce the accused campaigns in operable or reviewable form if this matter proceeds to a formal discovery." That's crazy that they don't even have...
All right, so just to make sure we're on the same page, Max. There was an old expansion or an event.
So the Red War campaign was the original Destiny 2 campaign that launched with Destiny 2.
Oh, that's long gone.
Curse of Osiris was the first DLC that came out from that thing.
Okay.
So back in 2017.
Back in 2017, as we know, Bungie liked to lock content into the vault in order to presumably prevent the game from being unreasonably large.
When it originally got vaulted, they blamed prior generation. They're like, if you want the game to still run on PS4, we need to vault content because the PS4 is not going to be able to handle being able to load everything simultaneously. It's just not going to be able to do it.
Yep.
We have to cut out some of the game.
Now, with it being a build from, was it 2017, did you say?
Correct.
So you're telling me they don't have a build somewhere from that?
No, so that because update? because the framework of the game has changed since those two campaigns existed.
They don't have backups from like 10...
They probably wouldn't run.
Yeah, true.
So Bungie attempted to make up for this by instead submitting player-made YouTube videos and entries from the fan-written Destinypedia wiki explaining the lore of the now archived content. The court deciding this wasn't sufficient evidence has denied Bungie's motion to dismiss the case because Martin Yu's accusations are aimed at the game's story itself, not third-party retellings of the story. While plaintiff does reference Destiny 2 in his complaint, he does not reference the YouTube videos containing Destiny 2 game footage, the Destinypedia pages, or the Tyson Declaration, Judge Susie Morgan's order has said. She said, quote, "The court will not consider the exhibits attached to defendant's motion to dismiss and will not convert the defendant's motion to dismiss to a motion for summary judgment. There has not been sufficient time for discovery, and the attachments are admittedly of third-party origination. Their authenticity has not been established. The case will therefore continue."
Yeah, because I was thinking, that could be a really good workaround, would be the YouTube path. However, there's no way to verify that is the correct footage, that is the correct lore, you know, because anyone can mod shit at this point. And, yeah, fascinating. Bungie might have to just accept it.
Yeah, they may have to
cop it. If they can't defend it, they're going to have to cop it.
They'll either have to rework the game to reintroduce Red War and Curse of Osiris,
but not make it accessible because they don't want it's copyright. They can't make it accessible to the general public.
Well, their argument that it isn't.
No, but as I'm saying, if they do re-release, if they have to rebuild it so it can be released or at least playable, the only option would be if they rebuild it for the current build, they submit it, they don't. They get found not guilty. I imagine they'd release it because they've already put the work in, and it just rubs it in that guy's face a little bit. But yeah, imagine if the dev team had to be like, "Hey, can you rebuild this?" But then how would the court monitor that code so they don't want to accidentally delete the shit that's in question?
Well, they can't because they can't get a running version of it.
No. Like if they were to rebuild it,
yeah,
yeah. They're fucked. They're a little fucked. Well, didn't they get done for like copyright infringement or at least potential for with some skins? There was a design of something that was brought into contention. I know Call of Duty got done for a bunch of things, allegedly. Yeah, Overwatch did too, I think.
Yeah, I watched it.
Rebuild as possible. Square Enix did it with Kingdom Hearts 1. It says mute in the chat. Absolutely. So it's not about the possibility of doing the build. Is that if this build is needs to be redone to prove the copyright infringement, they would need to have either someone monitor the entire process to ensure that the alleged copyright infringed material wasn't coded out.
The other thing is Kingdom Hearts 1 is an offline single player title.
Yeah.
Whereas to rebuild and re-add content to Destiny, it's already at fucking 200 and something gig on my hard drive.
Mm.
That motherfucker is going to go huge. And that's apparently why they started content vaulting stuff, was because old systems couldn't handle it, and there was just too much, I would imagine, too much like server-side stress.
Mm.
The other thing is, Red War came out in 2017. Why is this lawsuit only just coming out now? Did he wait to know that they're like, oh, they've content vaulted it, they can't access it anymore, now's the time to fucking strike?
This is an
easy dub because they can't defend themselves? Or is this guy just a fucking Destiny fan and he wants all his game? He wants all of the things that he paid for in Destiny to be playable at any time that he wants it to be played?
Hmm.
And this is just a bogus lawsuit to make them fucking put shit back in the game that we've already paid for and deserve to be able to play. Is this big brain gamer logic, or
I wouldn't think so. But it's certainly possible. So I'm sorry, I'm just trying to like do the thought. Well,
Red War got vaulted. I'm trying to work out when Red War got vaulted. I can't even remember when it it was removed in 2020. Yeah, during Beyond Light. So it's been 5 years since it was vaulted.
Mm.
And I think this lawsuit only happened earlier this year.
Yeah, and like I'd be curious as to why, because that would be a question that will be asked. Why? But then within the confines of copyright law, that it's pretty straightforward. Like it's a simple yes or no. And like regardless of when you did it or the intentions at which you've taken this long, because I imagine that'll be asked, right?
Yeah, because from memory, Beyond Light was kind of like a fresh reboot for Destiny. Like they changed a lot of things, yeah. A lot of the way the game worked itself.
Oh, excuse me. All right. Well, let's head into the next story.
Otherwise, yeah, it was filed in February of this year.
Okay, sorry, I do apologize. I've just had to pull up something. All right. Where are we? Boom. Max, I'm not stoked because a game that should have and likely could have won me our fantasy draft this year has since been delayed. GTA 6, has been pushed into 2026. This statement comes directly from Rockstar Games. It was released on May the 2nd. Grand Theft Auto 6 is now coming May 26, 2026. Hi everyone, Grand Theft Auto 6 is now set to release on May 26, 2026. We are very sorry that this is later than you expected. The interest and excitement surrounding a new Grand Theft Auto has been truly humbling our entire team. We want to thank you for your support and your patience as we work to finish the game. With every game we have released, the goal has always been to try and exceed your expectations, and Grand Theft Auto 6 is no exception. We hope you understand that we need this extra time to deliver at the level of quality you expect and deserve, and we look forward to sharing more information with you soon. Max, this does give me a couple questions. First of all, May 26, we have a locked in date now. Before it was ambiguous, now it's a date. Are people gonna freak the fuck out at the beginning of 2026? And also, with the original consideration for it to come in, say, September, October, so no one's announced shit for the back end of the year, what does this mean for the remaining slate of 2025?
We're going to have a busy Halloween.
Yeah. I imagine a lot of people that were going to probably delay until the beginnings of the new year may suddenly just pop up at the back end of the year. But that, like, that very rarely are dates brought forward unless they've been intentionally, like, holding it off. I imagine many of the games that would try to dodge GTA may be like, oh, well, cool. Well, we'll wait a little longer and we'll use that time to work on our projects. But it does miraculously free up the end of the year. Up until this point, we're in May, sorry, we're almost in June, and we really don't know what's coming out later in the year. There's a handful of games like Death Stranding, Borderlands.
Death Stranding's out in June.
Yep.
Not anywhere close to the end. Yote is the only thing I can think of in October.
Yeah.
Borderlands just got brought forwards. They're just like,
it's,
hey,
it's in August now.
It's done. We're coming out 11 days earlier. Fuck it. Yeah. I saw from this was Take-Two want one more year of revenue out of GTA 5 Online.
It's possible.
Because according to...
What's their fiscal year? Is it April?
According to quarter three of this last fiscal year, they made... Where is it? I set it up. Well, they've made $9.54 billion since the launch of GTA 5 back in 2013.
Say it again, sorry?
They have made $9.54 billion since the launch of GTA 5 in September of 2013.
Wow.
They've also just relaunched on Games Pass. So they brought a ton of people back into the ecosystem. Oh, here you go. In quarter three of fiscal 2025, Take-Two made $179.46 million.
You know what?
That's up 4.42% quarter over quarter.
So I've just had a look to see what's the fiscal year for Take-Two. It's March to March. This is May. You could be onto something. Like, because I remember that being one of the conversations where, like, holy shit, like, Take-Two, obviously with all WWE, NBA, etc., their year's already going to be schmick. Throw Borderlands in there, schmick. And then you pop it the year later, and a couple months later, you get GTA 6. Like, that, the financial growth that they will see in this year would have been ridiculous. And... Oh, Max, I think you're... Because think about it, right? We're in late-stage capitalism. The idea is that every year, it's you need to be making more money than you did the year before. Constantly, with no excuses.
Like, it's crazy to think that they would feasibly have been working on this since Red Dead Redemption 2, which came out in 2017.
At least. At least 2018.
Yeah, Red Dead 2 2018. So it's been 7 years since that. It's been 12 years since their last GTA title. It's been two console generations.
Yep.
Because it came out on PS3, PS4, PS5. It's insanity.
Yeah. So I think you might be onto something. Because in order to... GTA 6 will make bank. Clear as day, no doubt. But I have a feeling if they do it within that next financial year, they can clearly see, and it will also be an impressive thing from Take-Two to sort of whip their big dick out to every other company and be like, this is how much money we made just in GTA. Mm. And Josh LaRossa in the chat does bring up a very good point, because I constantly keep fucking forgetting about this game. Let's not forget that Mafia is coming out in the fall, so that's in the spring for us, back end of the year. So Borderlands and Mafia this financial year and GTA in the next. Yeah. Add all that together, and like, there's no way the GTA could, there's no way the Take-Two could do anything to match that return the following financial year. And yeah, when it comes to shareholders, etc., it's up and to the right. And without that, you know, there you go. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Look, I myself, I'm pretty okay with the delay. I forgot. I'm excited to play it, but it's one of those things where I'm aware that I'll get it when I get it, and I'm okay with that. And when I play it, I'll enjoy it. Let's wait slightly longer. It's been 12 fucking years. I think I can wait another, literally another year. It's fine.
Oh, what's not fine is Sackboy's been sacked. Sony appears to have cut Sackboy from its PlayStation Productions logo screen that plays before its movies. The animation features multiple characters from across numerous first-party franchises such as Horizon, God of War, Astro Bot, and so on. Sackboy has been part of the gang up until now, but the latest PlayStation Productions flick, that being Until Dawn, has removed Sackboy from the logo.
Dun, dun, dun. You alright?
Would you mind pouring me a glass of water, please?
No. Fuck you.
Glass of water, please.
Okay. While Max is requesting water from his love, from his lovely partner, to me, this makes sense. Yeah. Sackboy was what they attempted to make as the mascot for PlayStation PS3. Wasn't very successful. Tried a little bit on PS4 as well. Also not very successful. However, Astro Bot is exactly the same. Anthropomorphized creature. It is androgynous. It is whatever you want it to be. You can slap a costume on it. It is literally Sackboy, but better.
He came in and literally knocked the stuffing out of Sackboy.
Yeah, he punched the stuffing out of him immediately.
Yeah.
It is a shame, especially if you are, you know, a fan of Sackboy, if you're a fan of Little Big Planet, but everybody has the time, and it ain't your time anymore, Sackboy. Wasn't the only delay this week for GTA. There has been a couple other ones. Max, it's taken an entire console generation for the promising character action game Lost Soul aside to get ready for release, so one more delay isn't going to hurt anyone. The game, originally due out at the end of this month on the 30th of May, has now been officially pushed to 29th of August. Quote, "We are truly grateful for the positive response we've received from players all over the world since we've announced Lost Soul aside." End quote. Director and creator Yang Bing said in a statement, quote, "We remain committed to delivering a high-quality game experience to match the standards Alter Zero Games has set for ourselves. We are going to take some additional time to polish the game. Lost Soul aside will now release on the 29th of August 2025. We want to express our heartfelt thanks to our fans waiting for the launch."
This is going to launch. It's going to launch the same day as Elden Ring Nightreign.
Yep.
This is a very Max game. I was very disheartened to see it was delayed, and then they're like, "It's just 3 months." I'm like, "Cool, it's still on this year. It's on my draft list. Please don't delay out of the year. I need you to come out." It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I think this was part of the China Hero project for PlayStation. So seeing it delayed away from Elden Ring is probably not a bad idea.
Yes, yeah, once again, pushing away now also knowing the back end of the year is a little quiet, why the fuck not? Take advantage of it. Throw things in that what would have been that sinkhole of GTA 6, put it down there. Easy done. Not, once again, not a game that was on like my immediate list of things to give a shit about. I know it was very much a Max game, if anything. But look, if you're happy with it, I'm happy with it.
Let's talk about things we're not happy with. EA has confirmed a round of layoffs across its development studios, with Star Wars Jedi Team Respawn Entertainment seemingly the hardest hit. According to a Bloomberg report that builds on EA statement, around 300 to 400 employees have reportedly lost their jobs. Around 100 of those positions were within Respawn Entertainment itself, and the studio has had to cancel two of its games that were in early development. Jason Schreier of Bloomberg reports one of them was a Titanfall game designed to be an extraction shooter. Officially, an EA spokesperson said, quote, "As part of our continued focus on our long-term strategic priorities, we've made select changes within our organization that more effectively aligns teams and allocates resources in service of driving future growth." Bummed that a Titanfall game is being cancelled. Titanfall is brilliant. I feel like they have the skeleton for what an extraction shooter already is. They have a battle royale game already. Turning a battle royale game into an extraction shooter is, I would imagine, not too difficult. Mm. Call of Duty pulled it off with Warzone and DMZ. I don't see why EA couldn't do it here. The characters are cool. The maps are fun designed. They already have like PvE monsters inside their Titanfall games with the grunts and whatnot. They could have had cool world events where Titans dropped in, and it'd be a pretty cool game. It's a shame to see. I don't want Respawn to just become the Star Wars guys.
Yeah.
I don't want them shoehorned into that pigeonhole.
What? So listening to another couple of podcasts this week, they're talking about this as well. One of the things that they highlighted were that allegedly a lot of the reasoning behind like this impact is the loss of the softer than expected sales of FC. So then they brought up the interesting contradiction in that they were willing to burn their FIFA like their guaranteed money in FIFA because of the licensing, and they didn't want to be under the license, to now be deeply entrenched in the license of Star Wars.
Mm.
I don't feel that a new Titanfall game would have hit. I think Titanfall's time is long gone. Apex certainly extended it. But from memory, there was meant to be this larger universe within, you know, expanded Titanfall universe that Apex was a part of, and then ideally a number of other releases, assuming this extraction shooter was part of it. I don't know. I don't even know whether Apex Legends is still as like popular or impactful as it once was. I assume it's still popular.
I mean, at the moment, there is currently 126,500 people playing it.
Wow.
Just on Steam alone.
Yeah. And like, I am very aware that my lack of interest in the games as a service space at large does put me at a disadvantage when it comes to knowing these kinds of things, I guess. So in the chat, Reverend Puck does comment that that is a few more people than Concord, just a few, not many.
So for reference, their all-time peak player count was 630,000 2.5 years ago.
Josh Olorosa also adds, EA has its shooters in Apex and Battlefield. Why compete with yourself? They literally fucking did. They released, what was it? Battlefield 1, Titanfall 2, and something else all within the same month. And Titanfall got chomped. Like, they got their lunch utterly eaten. Especially if Battlefield is to be revitalized. Look, I would assume Battlefield is going to be revitalized. I know, what was the last one? 20...
There's playtesting for it at the moment.
Yeah, because I swear we saw a trailer semi-recently for a new Battlefield, or am I making that up?
No, I think you're about right.
2042, thank you, Reverend Puck. Yeah, it was those two games up against COD, that's right. Within a two-week window, it was COD, Titanfall 2, and Battlefield. And of course, people went to... COD. Oh, that was for Battlefield Labs. All right, there you go. Mm. There you go. Be help. Mew also jumps in and goes, is Battlefield even good? Heard of lots of them were bad and buggy. Battlefield hasn't been good for a little while. Battlefield 1 I had a lot of good time with, but I liked got to play like Aussies and do some Anzac shit. That was pretty fun. But I haven't thoroughly enjoyed a Battlefield game since Battlefield Bad Company. I adored the Bad Company multiplayer. I don't know what it was, but it was just something about it. Played with a group of mates.
It was the fully destructible terrain. Being able to just fucking blow holes in walls.
Oh yeah, just someone sniping in the building. Cool, just blow the building up. Love it. All right, Max, we are once again a light news week, and what do? We somehow managed to get the news, get the show over the hour mark. So let's get into the quick bits. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 has topped 3 million sales. That's incredible. Incredible.
I think it's 10 million total across the first and second games now.
Damn. That's crazy. And finally, Elden Ring Nightreign has dropped a 10-minute trailer to tell you what you need to know about the game. Are you going to watch this trailer?
Nah, 10 minutes is a long time. I think I know what to expect.
You're still pretty keen? Like, you know what it is?
I'm so keen. Yeah. That's like, what, 3 weeks away? End of this month. Excited.
Well, that's the end of the month, Max. What games are, you know?
Well, coming this week, we have, on the 6th of May, Age of Empires 2, the Definitive Edition, coming to PlayStation 5. We have Captain Blood coming PS5, PS4. We have King Arthur Legion 9 coming to PS5. And Metal Eden coming to PS5. On the 8th of May, we have Imperial PS5, Pixel Shire PS5, Revenge of the Savage Planet PS5, Spirit of the North 2 PS5, The Midnight Walk PS5, and Wings of Endless PS5, PS4. And on the 9th of May, we have Little Kitty Big City PS5, PS4, Sir Whoop Ass The Immortal Death PS5, Spiritfall PS5, PS4, and What Comes After PS5, PS4.
The Midnight Walk is the one that has my immediate attention. That was the cool Coraline-y stop-motion creepy ass looking game, also for PSVR 2 as well as PS5.
Yeah. Totally forgot to mention there was a fucking PlayStation State of Play this week on Borderlands 4.
Yeah, who cares? I say that like for me, Borderlands is Borderlands. I don't need to see anything about it. I will just go I will play it when it comes out. Like, we'll play it in multiplayer, you, me, and Padge. And
well, yeah, I'm excited. I'm keen.
Like, we'll jump in and do a bit of that, but I don't need to see more about it. I'll just play it when I see it. Because, like, for Borderlands 3, seeing all the trailers made me go, I don't think I'm going to like this.
Mm.
And I did. So I'm just going to wait and have a bunch of fun. Other than that, Little Kitty Big City sounds fun.
I've played it. It's fun.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah.
I was being a smart ass. How the fuck have you played Little Kitty Big City?
Because it's been on Games Pass for fucking months.
Oh, and Hadley's been playing it?
And Hadley's been playing
it. What is it?
Let me just double check and make sure it's the same game.
Or have you been playing Hello Kitty Island Adventure?
No. I've definitely been playing Little Kitty Big City. So essentially you're just a fucking cat in a city and it's fine. Hadley got upset because I clearly was not supposed to do what I was doing, and I was trying to clear a gap that I just couldn't jump across, and I electrocuted the kitty multiple times. We got there in the end.
Nice.
But it visibly upset Hadley that I was like electrocuting this cat.
Nice. Yeah, and so Wolf Bear sounds right.
It came out in May of last year. It must have had 1 year of exclusivity on Xbox.
Oh, what a game to get exclusive. Microsoft coming through winning.
It was 9th of May, 2024.
Okay. Well, anyway, that does bring us to the end of the show. Big thank you, as always, to everyone that does take the time to cut this out of their week. We do appreciate it. It does make it fun. As I say pretty much every week, we would do it without you, but we're lucky. We're very, very happy to have you here. Pardon me, whether it be here on Twitch, whether it be on the YouTube or on the podcast, we appreciate everyone that takes the time to have a listen and check out the show. Max, you know what to do.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations, have topics that you want us to chat about, let us know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation podcast. If you're listening to us on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you want to leave a conversation, you know, on the YouTubes or whatever, my brain clearly stopped. If you want to support us financially, patreon.com/popculturist. There you go. Mute in the chat says, thanks guys for keeping us informed. See, that's the thing. Do you really get that informed from us? Like, I would assume most people, like, we are like their fifth news source, right? We would have to be. We would just fucking have to be. There's no chance. Like, oh yeah, I've got to go. I've got to listen to Ryan and Max for like the maybe, you know, where the new breaking news comes from.
Maybe we're the rock that they live under. Okay.
Oh, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
Same time, same rock, and that was for the players.